It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We're going to Detroit.
No, we're not going to Detroit. No. We might watch it on TV.
Yes.
I grew up there. I don't need to go back.
Someone will be in Detroit. Those someones will not be us.
Not Ken Evans.
As UFC,
welcome to the show.
As UFC 218 takes place at Little Caesars Arena with an interesting main event, in my mind, two of the most interesting fights, one at flyweight, one at lightweight, and then a heavyweight matchup that I think should be fireworks between Overeem and Ngannou. I think that'll be a fun fight.
Are we going to start with this, or are we going to start with the fact that we've actually got a light heavyweight championship fight, though? I want to know where we should actually start here.
We should probably, sure.
Well, we're going to talk to Max Holloway later, right?
We are going to talk to Max Holloway.
So
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Daniel Cormier. They're trying to beat the judicial system, I feel like, by getting him an opponent here. Am I wrong?
No. So to backpedal a little bit, Volkan Oezdemir is accused of assault. And when that story broke last week, and we talked about it last week, it appeared that you would not have DC and Volkan as a fight because, well, he'd be in jail or some sort of judicial
histrionics
thing that you've seen. We had to deal with Rumble Johnson. We had to deal with it with John Jones. And then John Jones again, and then John Jones a third time, and then John Jones a fourth time. So
remember that time he actually stopped a guy from committing a crime, allegedly, though?
Yes.
That was so long ago.
Right before his title fight when he beat Shogun, and then he thought, well, that guy looked like he was having so much more fun. Let's just do crime.
I still think that was fake, but apparently they're going to try to get this going with Volkan before legal proceedings go, which could be a big risk. Whew. If Volkan wins, your light heavyweight champion looks like he's likely going to jail. I know these are all alleged things with him right now, but this is interesting because they're going to try to get this thing done, what, in January?
Yes, they're going to try and get it done in January, and if he beats DC, and I think that's a big if, but if he beats DC, you've got a light heavyweight that will likely be serving some sort of time at some point in 2018.
See, you say it's a big if, and I love DC, and I'm not picking against DC by no means, but we are looking at DC getting older and older every time he fights. An up-and-coming 28-year-old fighter coming out of nowhere. You just mentioned a dude that sounds a lot like, which is John Jones.
Yep.
He was a couple years younger, but still a very similar situation. He's got some big wins under his belt. He's been in UFC now for a full year. He's been active the whole time. He's had 3 fights already this year. Obviously, he's had 15, 16 professional fights. So this isn't a guy that I would necessarily write off in this light heavyweight situation just because he's showing promise. He's had some big wins, some impressive wins, and the fact that at some point, you know, we talk about this on every podcast, and let's knock it off the checklist for this week. You're going to lose that chin. Something's going to happen. Daniel Cormier is getting older. One of these times it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen against Volkan, but to say it's a big if, I think is more of a stretch every time Daniel Cormier fights.
I just feel, Ken, in where Daniel Cormier is right now, I feel like he's Hall of Famer for sure, one of the best light heavyweights of all time, and the only thing that hangs over his head is a guy named John Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I still think Volkan has some proving to do because let's call a spade, right? Like, the light heavyweight division is not the deepest division in the world.
No, it's very top heavy with Daniel Cormier, essentially.
You've got 4 guys at the top, and then other than that, it's a bunch of people that you may or may not even be paying attention to. So, yes, it's impressive the amount of time that he's blown through those guys to get to this point. However, he hasn't met, in my opinion, any of the guys that I would consider upper echelon or gatekeepers before this DC fight. So there are still some ifs with Volkan. That's not to say I'm writing him off. It's just to say, I would not have the same conversation if you told me that Gustafson is taking this fight or Rumble is taking this fight, where they've been in there with DC and they have some knowledge that they can use to their advantage. Volkan has not done that, and Volkan has not necessarily seen this level of competition.
That is all true, but when we're talking about a situation where a guy is facing legal problems, that big if needs to be a lot bigger. That big if should be a lot bigger, because essentially what the UFC is betting on here, and whether or not they say it and whatever Dana White says in his videos, they are hoping to get a title defense and a pay-per-view out of DC. If you tell me different, I'm going to call you a liar if you're working for the UFC and you're on the in. Because there's no way in hell they want a guy who ends up in jail to be holding their title. They've gotten very close to that a couple of different times.
Yeah. Yes.
And they've skirted the issue. They've avoided it. But this time, they're literally inside the legal proceedings. They're going to try to beat the legal proceedings and get this done on January 20th at UFC 220 in Boston. So that's going to be very, very interesting to see as we get closer to January. I mean, that's right around the corner. That's your next pay-per-view, right? I mean, we've got 219,
You've got 219, which is Holly Holm and Cyborg.
Which is not the typical New Year's card quality you'd expect.
Yeah, and two of those supposed rumored fights fell apart in the last 2 weeks. One, that Connor was supposed to be on that card, but because of the Bellator thing, he's not on that card, and Dana reiterated that this week. And then the other one
was... I didn't see that part. What was Dana's official word?
He just said that he was... Like, he didn't get into details, but he did say during a press scrum that he was doing this week that Connor was supposed to be on that card and is not on that card. And then went on to say what he's been saying all year is like, look, guys, I don't know if he's ever coming back. When you get $100 million, it's hard to get amped up to come back. He might not ever come back. Fighting is hard. Which leans into the Ken Evans theory that there's a boxing match out there and he doesn't want to get involved in it yet. And when that comes to fruition, we'll talk about that.
Dana White or Conor McGregor or both?
Yes, all of that.
Both.
And then you've got the Nate Diaz fight between him and Tyron Woodley, which fell apart. So Woodley is getting shoulder surgery, I think, this week. So he'll be out for 4 months, which I can't even, and you're looking at it right now, I can't even remember when the last time that belt was defended when you want to talk about the welterweight division. Him being gone for another 4 months is crazy town to me. I mean,
do we want to even get into the fact that Dana White's upset that GSP might be deciding to walk away again?
Right. Yeah, and so Dana White... So
they're trying to get this Ozdemir fight happening. That's why.
They're trying to get the Ozdemir fight to happen. They're trying to get the Whitaker fight to happen. And he was asked, Dana White was asked this week, hey, is this thing happening in Perth, Australia, so that Robert Whitaker can fight near, you know, his home turf? And Dana said, look, I'm not really sure that's what we're going to do, but GSP signed a contract saying he was going to fight Whitaker. And so the follow-up question was, so Dana, when he doesn't fight Whitaker, what happens? He's like, well, I'm going to be super pissed, but I've told you guys 100 times, I can't make a guy fight. I can't make him fight at a weight class.
The guy he tried to make fight was GSP years ago because he wanted him back in there for that fight against Johnny Hendricks that some people think that Johnny Hendricks won. So, I mean, if you got all that going on, you've got a situation where a Conor McGregor might get murdered by the Irish mafia. You got to be careful of that situation. You've heard about that, right?
Yes.
That alleged brawl in some type of pub in Dublin. Apparently, he might have accidentally got in deep with some of the Irish mob and the government there. Again, this is a lot of rumor and conjecture. That's all you really get with the mafia, though.
That is all you get with the mafia.
Pretty much a consistent thing with the mafia. You only get rumor and conjecture, and all the government's saying is nobody's pressed any charges after this fight, which sounds very sketchy. Sketch, because you know what? If I fight a dude or a dude punches me in the face that just made $150 million, I'm going to report it to somebody.
Yep.
I'm going to call somebody.
Somebody who can get me the money.
Yeah, exactly. And the first step there is a police report. So if you got somebody who cares more about the fact they got punched in the face than the guy who did it just made $150 million, might be a dangerous dude. Again, this is all alleged and possibly, but that's hanging out there. We've got some of the weirdest things hanging out there, holding up all of these UFC cards in a way that if you would have said 6 months ago, hey, Ken, wait until 6 months from now, it's going to be even more screwed up. I said, you're crazy. Got John Jones going to jail or something. He's peeing hot again. I don't know what's happening with him. Conor McGregor's about to fight Floyd. Got those two divisions locked up. That's insanity. Now you got many divisions locked
up. But wait, Ken, in the next 6 months, Michael Bisping will lose to GSP and 3 weeks later get starched by Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh, yes. In what could have been one of the worst ideas. I know Joe Rogan really went off on this too, which we'll probably talk about in minutes. But yeah, you've got complete chaos, really, in the UFC. Is there a division without this type of chaos right now? Is there a single division? I would say featherweight, our main event this weekend.
Featherweight is okay.
But nobody cares. And I'm not trying to take a damn thing away from that division or the fighters in it. We're going to talk to Max Holloway in a bit. But nobody cares about that division the way that they've cared about lightweight with Connor or even welterweight with Tyron Woodley at the top. GSP may be leaving now and not fighting Robert Whitaker, who's your interim champion. And then the light heavyweight, well, we got to try to make that happen because otherwise, I don't know, this guy might be in jail.
And, you know, you've got a heavyweight bout this weekend, but do we have a date for Stipe?
I don't think we have a date for Stipe at this point. I mean, because Alistair is still the number one contender in that division. So we're going to see what happens there.
If for now. Ngannou, this will be different on Sunday. But.
So, yeah, I don't take it away from him, though. I mean, Alistair Overeem has kind of morphed into that cagey veteran.
Yeah, well, and that's what
he was the opposite, obviously, at the beginning of his career.
Yes, when we called him the Uberim, that was
the Uberim, yeah, the Demolition Man, all of those things.
Yeah, because he's become a guy who's super crafty and knows how to get out of the way of that stuff. However, Ngannou is just one of those guys that I'm just super excited to see in there, and I think his punching power is no joke. I know Overeem has been calling it fake or hype or those sorts of things, but. I think it's neither of those things, and this will be an awesome test for him. If Ngannou wins this thing, to your point, now we've got another complete insane scenario where you've got...
Well, at least we've got a... No, that would be one of the best things, is because then you would at least have a clear contender, and you would have a situation where you're ready to go with a heavyweight championship fight. So I either way, I think we're okay with the heavyweight division, but we're waiting on it because we've got to get through some of the contenders this weekend, because I know that he wanted to come back either in December or January, which is not going to be on the horizon at this point with Stipe. So
no.
And, of course, there was that long-rumored fight with John Jones, too. That was going to happen right after John won, right before we got the test results back. So, again...
Which was supposed to be this card.
Yeah, that was supposed to be this card. We were thinking it was going to be John Jones and Stipe, possibly.
Yes.
The UFC likes to do some stuff close to where their guys are from, and I'm sure if you're in Vegas, you feel like Cleveland's pretty close to Detroit. so you call it good at that point.
You don't realize it's 3.5 hours.
It's not that close, but I mean, it's better than Vegas, I guess, for his family and friends. So we've got a lot of chaos going on in these divisions right now, and ultimately what that does, it puts the UFC in a position where they look at a fighter like Volkan Oezdemir and look at his legal issues and go, can we get him on a card before court date?
Nah, let's get him up there.
That's not something you would have seen from the UFC maybe 18, 24, 36 months ago.
No, but they have to, you know, so they've got a couple things going. We talked about this last week, right? They've got this TV deal that they're trying to get $413 million out of that no one seems to be interested in. You've got...
couldn't be a worse time. There could not be a worse time to be UFC trying to do this deal.
And what I was saying is, so you've got UFC 217, right? Which is GSP, Bisbee. It's this amazing card. Everybody's super fired up about it. Talk about it for weeks. We're still talking about it as Bisbee took this insane fight last weekend and lost horrifically to Kelvin Gastelum. Fast forward to this weekend where the card is fun and the card might be bananas with, I mean, you've got Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez on this card, right? So there might be some fun fights, but it doesn't have the buzz that the GSP card had.
Certainly.
For obvious reasons, but still could be fun. And then you've got a lot of X factors heading into the end of the year with the Holly Holm Cyborg. Does anyone care?
I think that's a fun fight, too.
It's a fun fight.
Here's the problem. We don't have these A-level fights. And we lamented this probably, I don't know, 6, 12, 18, 24, 36 months ago. At some point, we're like, I don't know if this is going to keep lasting. You know, and then the Fertitta sold it. Like, oh, we must be idiots. He just sold it for $4 billion. What we realized is we were not that dumb and that Fertittas were the smartest guys in the world.
Yep. They knew that there was an end to the growth, and we're in it right now. Now, that's not to say that you won't see another period of growth. Follow the stock market, or you're into Bitcoin or whatever.
Start with the Bitcoin. Jesus, can I get away from the Bitcoin for 5 minutes somewhere?
I just did that just for you. But like, all markets ebb and flow, right? So we're not necessarily at peak MMA, but you've got some interesting stuff out there that might change that, right? You've got a competitor out in the water that's doing something really interesting next year in that heavyweight tournament in Bellator. And
don't get me started on that, though.
You hate that, too?
Yeah. Have you looked at the schedule?
I have not looked.
No, you have not looked at the schedule. Let me explain how the Bellator heavyweight tournament is going to work with their eight fighters in there, correct?
Yes.
It is going
Does
to take
3 years.
It's taking 6 months to get
all right.
four fights done.
Got it.
6 months to get four fights done. I get that they've got to flesh out some Bellator cards. That's pretty much Bellator's life. But you cannot take 6 months to do a freaking tournament. Are these guys that fight at the beginning going to wait? Or do they take fights in between? What if they lose? Does that guy get their spot? Who the hell knows? 6 months to get four fights done.
All right, so I rescind that earlier statement.
Seems super exciting if they do all the fights on one card.
It does seem super exciting if they do it all on one
card.
And
I'm not saying that, and again, I'm not advocating old school UFC tournament style. I'm saying get the first four done
card. Get the one round done.
At least within a month.
Yep.
At least within a month. That gives everybody the same amount of time to set their camps up and do everything too. So yeah, Bellator, you get an A for the poster because it looks great.
The poster's awesome.
You get an E for execution because the damn thing's going to take 6 months.
So all that to be said, we're not in a part where the sport is certainly on fire. And where the UFC ends up, I think, remains to be seen. But the next three events, this one included, certainly aren't going to light the world on fire as far as pay-per-view buys. So if you're investing or looking to invest at this point, it's a bad time for WME and the UFC.
Yeah, if I'm UFC and I don't even know what their deals are, I mean, I've got a little bit of media experience. You've got a little more than I do. This would look to me like if you're UFC, you don't want to go into a long-term deal right now with TV.
Nope.
You want to try to make it short. What TV's going to try to do is they want to bet low and win high. And what they want to do is they want to hold UFC to these low rates for a long time because this is not going to be a good deal for the UFC. It'll be okay. I mean, they're not going off TV by any means.
No. But they may end up on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime.
Oh, Jesus. I hope not. No, I was saying they were not going to. I don't think they're going to end up there. And I know you and I have this big TV argument.
No.
I still think classic TV and classic cable packages.
I'm agreeing.
Are that
you.
Gateway.
I'm agreeing that if you're trying to grow a business, going to Amazon Prime is not how you do it.
No.
Right? What I would say, though, is if they could come up with what we had talked about earlier is this two-tier approach where you get on basic cable or a network or something. So you've got that big booming stick to get your name out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, who can show you what to do in the streaming world, that's the win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can agree with that, right?
Yeah. I think if you can find that balance.
Sell it to Vince, for the love of God.
Here's a problem with that, which I think is a little myopic on your part.
How dare you, sir?
Anybody you make a deal with is going to have their own app now. They have their own Roku channel. They have all. Everybody wanted a la carte. Congratulations. TV costs $400 a month now.
Yes.
Way to go.
Which was,
and this guy across from me was one of them. Can't we just have the a la carte? You got it. Congratulations on your $400 to watch everything you want to watch now.
Well, see,
this is why net neutrality is bad.
Oh,
because
God.
If we just let the big companies decide what's. I'm kidding.
Dear God, here we go.
But if the big company.
This is a way more interesting podcast. We're going to argue about net neutrality. Holy cow.
We are not. That's a terrible idea. But I just think what you're going to have is you cannot probably make that deal, especially in the United States, because of the way these media companies are lined up.
And you're likely 100% correct, and I will accept the myopic tag you have given me. I was saying, I guess my point, though, is they need help in the streaming as much as they need the access to a larger audience. And
right.
So whoever they go with, ideally, in that scenario, you're looking at somebody like NBC and Comcast who can help you in both directions.
NBC just freed up $25 million in salary.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
So what we're here to let you know is that Conor McGregor is the new host of the Today Show. and the UFC has partnered with Comcast and NBC for their streaming rights.
That's not happened. None of that has happened. None of that has happened. But if Dana White can keep his stuff in his pants, he might have a shot at that gig.
Right.
Which is sad because we're not sure.
Yes, that's very sad.
So there's a lot going on in the UFC right now. And the reason, obviously, we're talking about all of that is because it is very interesting to look at a situation where you have a guy who's got legal troubles ongoing that they are willing to put into a main event to get their 2018 going. I think that says a lot about the UFC, and we can judge a lot about the UFC when we look at that situation and go, the fact that they're willing to do this, I don't know how well they're doing right now, and it's certainly something to keep an eye on as we look at TV deals, as we look at pay-per-view numbers, and we look at the fact that there's not a lot of mainstream fights anymore.
Well, and this also speaks, guys, if you're reading between the tea leaves, this fight is in Boston. So this also reads to when and if Conor's coming back. Because if you want Conor to blow up a crowd, Boston's a great place to do that.
If you could do it,
doesn't look like they can. That's my point. It's like, we don't know if he's not ready, not interested, not doing it, or as Ken said last week, if it's a boxing match that's floating out there and that's what the holdup is. But believe me, friends, that if they could book Conor McGregor to kick off the year in Boston, they would do it.
Well, I just want to mention, too, just because we're both within a road trip distance to Detroit, and I don't think you or I even considered going to this card, right?
Not at all. I would have if it was Jones and Stipe.
Right. That's the thing, and it's Detroit. Be thankful for it, right? They got a lot of population. You're looking at me like, I wasn't making a joke, actually.
No,
be thankful for the card. But I do think it says something when you've got face value floor seats that were $1,500 that are on the secondary market for $200 right now.
Wow.
That's literally what they're going for right now.
Are we going now?
And that's on the official Ticketmaster site. Here's the funny thing. $200. I'm like, still just $70 if we want to sit in your living room, right?
Yeah.
Ways, that's $35. We got an extra $35 for some nice beers. If we take all that money, we put the snacks and the gas money. Come on. It's the same problem every sport's having. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. The experience on TV is just outweighing the experience in the arenas. And that is true for UFC. You and I have been to UFCs. We have been to Strikeforce cards. I think the only time we could actually see anything worth a damn was the time we were actually at a Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yes. When Floyd fought Victor Ortiz was the best seats we've ever had.
Those were probably the best seats we ever had. We were actually in the media section there. The thing about the cage, I think it works great for MMA. It is terrible for live events. It is terrible for live events. You can't tell what's going on unless you're ringside. We ended up, every time we've been to a UFC, I think we watch monitors the whole time. And we've been in all kinds of sections. Up above to look down. We've been in the lower bowl.
Well, and I've covered a couple of these on the press side for the UFC. And in most cases, Ken, I end up in the media room because for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, you can't see anything. And two, if you're trying to do any sort of reporting, the Wi-Fi doesn't work, right? So you've got to be back there where the Wi-Fi works and you can actually get stuff out in the internet.
Yeah, fair enough. So it's
me and Ariel Helwani vlogging.
They're selling all right. I mean, it's not going to be an empty arena. It is Detroit. There's 20 million people to pull from in the metro area there within like 90 minutes to 2 hours.
And they'll pay for it, right? They're not going to make it look terrible.
Oh, yeah. They've already papered it. I mean, I work in broadcast, and I've seen some of the companies, what's going on down there. You can tell they're papering it.
Yeah.
Win a section for you and your friends. That's an interesting promotion. All right. There you go. So the UFC going bankrupt next week, and buy your Bitcoin. That's your takeaway from this first part of the segment. Let's break the actual card down, though.
Yes. So your card looks like this. On the main event, we kick off with Tiesha Torres and Michelle Waterson as Michelle looks to get back in the conversation about whether or not she can rematch Rose Namajunas. Like I said, the absolute fireworks should be Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje. That fight should be absolutely insane. They're coming off of coaching The Ultimate Fighter, and Gaethje, if you missed his first UFC fight, it's widely available on the internet. Please watch it, because you will see that this card is worth the money alone to watch him and Alvarez go at it. Flyweight division.
Or you just believe Eric, because I'm not going to go search that fight out. I believe you.
I'm telling you, the dude's insane.
I believe it. I'm not being sarcastic.
And in the flyweight division, you get Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis, brother of Showtime Pettis, which, again, should be a really, really fun fight. Those two guys try and figure out which one will eventually meet DJ, unless DJ is going to go after TJ Dillashaw. The heavyweight fight that we've been talking about, Alistair Overeem and Francis Ngannou. Again, if you like heavyweight showdowns, this is one that should be really interesting. As Ken was talking about a couple minutes ago, Overeem was 10 years ago where Francis Ngannou is today. So you've got a guy who's going to come and try and take Alistair's head off, and you've got Alistair Overeem, and if you watched his last three fights, he is picking people apart by being way more patient, because he knows, as Ken said a million times, his chin isn't what it used to be, and his hand isn't what it used to be. So he's got to set things up a lot more precisely in order to do what he wants to get done.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, is to kind of look at Alistair Overeem as he's kind of evolved at this point, because this is the thing that we've said about the dude for like 5, 6, 7 years. He's got to be more patient, especially the times he was losing, because he did have a tendency
to just rush in and get.
Exactly. So when you kind of see him doing the things now you'd hoped he had been doing a couple years ago, you just wonder what could have been if he had kind of learned his lesson. But sometimes you got to learn those lessons the hard way. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see Alistair Overeem in this fight, because he could learn a real hard lesson against Francis Ngannou.
He certainly could. And in the main event, and we'll talk to the champ here in a couple minutes, Max Holloway in a rematch against Jose Aldo. The two fought in June at UFC 212, where Max stopped Jose Aldo. And again, this is a fight, guys, where When you look at Max Holloway's resume, it's really hard to pick against him. And when you look at how many times Jose Aldo comes into these fights either injured or comes out of the fights and says he was injured, like in this fight, he said he couldn't throw kicks because of a leg injury. The thing about Aldo is, again, he's been doing it for a long time. His gas tank isn't where it used to be, and it wasn't that great to begin with. And so if he can't execute on the leg kicks and he can't do what he did to Uriah Faber, he's going to have a hard time doing that to a guy like Max Holloway, who, and we'll talk to Max in a second, most fights in the featherweight division, most wins in the featherweight division, most finishes in the featherweight division. This guy has done everything there is to do in the featherweight division, save for beat Conor McGregor, right? But everything else the guy has done.
Well, the interesting point here, too, what you talk about is when you go back to a fight like this, and you lose your championship, and you go back against the guy who beat you pretty handily the first time. If you lose again, where do you go from there? Luke Thomas made a great point. This is one of the riskiest fights Jose Aldo could be taking, because he might be out of the championship picture for good if you lose this fight, because you have to work your way through a lot of guys. That Shark Tank, the Frankie Edgars, Chad Mendez. I mean, these guys in these divisions are just brutal. That if Jose Aldo loses to the champ twice, where do you really go from there at that point, especially from where you fell?
Well, and he's been talking about he wants to do a trilogy. He wants to win this fight, do the trilogy fight, win the trilogy, win the second fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then retire. So I think if this doesn't go the way Jose wants, it's step two. You just retire.
You just retire because this division, and again, I'm not saying Jose Aldo can't beat Ricardo Lamas or Frankie Edgar or Cub Swanson. There's some other guys in that division too I'm probably forgetting. But the problem is if you lose to the champ twice in a row, which could very well happen this weekend, and that would be my pick. He's going to lose the champ twice in a row. You fall real far down the list away from the champ. You're going to have to be two, maybe even three fights away, depending on how this division shakes, of getting back to that. And if you're Jose Aldo, you're two or three fights away in the worst period of your career. Now, that's always relative because the dude was amazing for so long and people just couldn't touch him for so long. He had got to 25-1 before he got into the bad point of his career. So pretty damn good.
Yep.
Pretty damn good. But that's the problem. As you get older, you get the chin problems, you've been beat a couple times. What does that do to your psyche?
Well,
you're 32 years old, I think, at the end of next year or this year. I don't remember when he turned 31. I think it was earlier this year. So that's going to be an interesting situation for him.
And we got the champ on the line right now, Max Holloway, joining us. Max, how are you?
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic. And just want to say welcome to Michigan. I know it appears in the embedded episodes you're having a fun time in Detroit. Has Detroit been treating you well?
Detroit been treating me well, man. You know, but like I said, I'm Hawaiian and this cold weather. man, it's kicking me in my ass right now, you know. But I'd rather get kicked in the ass by the weather than Saturday night. So, you know, I'll take that L any day.
I bet you're probably sick of people telling you this is actually a warm time of year for us. This is a very warm winter here in Michigan.
Yeah, okay, well, that ends the conversation here. I'll talk to you guys later.
Exactly.
So, Max, tonight or Saturday night obviously is a super exciting night for you. And what's been really interesting about watching this fight unwind, the rematch with Jose Aldo, is listening to Jose as if he hasn't gone back and watched the original fight with you, right? He talks about a leg injury. That's why he didn't throw kicks. And he's talking about a trilogy fight with you, winning two times in a row and retiring. And Ken and I were just talking before you joined the show about, like, this is a guy who's not watching how you fight. I mean, you've got the most fights in the featherweight division, the most wins in the featherweight division, the most finishes in the featherweight division. And when you break down your fights, I'm just constantly amazed at the way in which you're evolving. And I don't think Jose has evolved that quickly this late in his career. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, there's, one thing to say, you know. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, you know. It is what it is, you know. This guy, he's going to say stuff, you know. If you watched Disney, you know, and you watched the movie Finding Nemo, you might as well call me Dory. I don't remember the last fight, you know. I respect this guy. I think this guy's the GOAT in our division. I got a way to catch up with his records and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, if he's banking on whatever Max he think he's facing, you're in trouble, you know. You go watch any of my fights. I get better. I get better every single fight. Every single fight I get better. Better me. And that's what I want to do. You know, I'm trying to stay ahead of the pack. I'm not trying to stay stagnant and steal and, you know, make people catch up. No, I'm trying to run, you know. I'm trying to run full force in front of these guys. It's a catch-up game, you know. You know, if you guys think you're the best, come fight Bless.
You have been gameful with the catch lines all week with it is what it is and come catch Bless and all that stuff. One of my favorite breakdowns this week about this fight to Saturday night is talking about when Dan Hardy was talking about Jose Aldo is a guy who has about 21 or 22 minutes of cardio for a 25-minute fight. And in contrast, prior to you changing to your nutritionist, Tyler, you've always had more cardio. But it seems like, even talking to you on the phone, we talked to you before the last fight, you seem like you have a shitload more energy right now. Is that how you feel?
Oh yeah. You know, I'm glad. Everybody's seeing it. Everybody, my open workouts, everything is seeing it, and I can feel it. You know, I told my man Tyler, too, I can feel it. Look, guys, I wasn't saying I was doing it wrong last time I got, because I got to the weight, and I felt great. And, you know, things is great for improvements. You can always improve. And I improved in my nutrition and my eating and all this stuff and my recovery. It's so insane, man. The things I did, the way I was able to recover, and the things I ate. You know, Tyler Minton, he's the man. He's been making sure my body's ready to go, you know, just like my trainers. And, to put it in perspective, last year around this time, I was fighting in Detroit, in Toronto. And that was Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving, I had nothing. I ate nothing Thanksgiving. Not nada. Like, I was drinking water and just being a freaking pouty ass whiny kid. You know, this Thanksgiving, I got to eat four things. I got to eat four meals. I got to eat breakfast with my family, lunch with my family, and dinner, you know? I'm spoiled, man. I'm spoiled. These guys, it's going to be a fun one, man. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm excited for, you know, I told my man Tyler, I was like, I'm so excited for this weight cut. He's like, man. He's like, this is you the first ever fighter that told me that, you know? And I am. I'm excited to get this weight off. I want to see the way it comes off because I feel great mentally, physically, spiritually, and I just can't wait to show the world why I'm the best to ever do it.
I know that you've said you're in champion mode right now. It certainly sounds like it with the way you're relating how the training's going and how the cut is going. And you said you don't really look back. You're like Dora in Finding Nemo. You're not looking back at the fights. But if you're looking forward as a champion in champion mode, do you care about the big money fights or do you not care? You said before the UFC is just going to put a contract in front of you. If you win this fight, though, you're now the defending champion. You should have some more pull and some more sway. Would you want anybody specifically in the division?
You know, I have a responsibility as a champ, and I respect the sport, you know, defend and stay active. My plans haven't changed. I want to keep cleaning up the 45 division, but at some point, medically, I have to move on, you know. I turned 26 on Monday, and I'm only 25, you know, and when I move up, I won't hold up my division, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, the 45er division, too, everybody's like, oh, who's next, this and that, you know. And Frankie Edgar fell out. They were throwing a bunch of names. There's 100 names being thrown around, 55ers, 45ers. And whatever and so on. But, you know, if they can't figure it out and with the 45ers and UFC want me, like, hey, you know, you want to go up, then, you know, maybe I'll think about it. We see what happens. You know, we see what they offer. But at the end of the day, I don't want to hold up my division, you know. I want to show everybody why I'm the best in the world, why I'm champion. I'm in champ mode, you know. Maybe later on down the line I can have this exhibition matches for money fights. But, you know, right now my full focus on 45 and they offer me something interesting. We see, but, you know, medically, I'm 26, man. You know, we see how long I can make 45. You know, you might see me at 55, you might see me at 70. And, you know, when I just say, oh, you know, hell's with it, you might see me at 185 one day. I'm eating because Hawaiians love food. And I'm Hawaiian Samoan, and that's like a bad mixture, you know. They're all big.
You mentioned exhibition fight possibly in the future. We saw a pretty big exhibition bout in Las Vegas in August. The guy that was in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, might he interest you at some point?
Yeah, you know, if that fight ever happens, it's on their side, you know. I'm willing to fight. They know who's the best. Their team always talk about me being the best. And if the fight ever happens, it never happens, it's because of them. You know, they're holding it up. You know, he seems to be focused on money fights, his exhibition fights, and, you know, and even him talking about coming back. I think so he wants to fight Paul in MMA. It's just wildness to me. It's whatever, you know. If the fight never happens, it's on their end. You know, I'm willing to fight the guy, you know. To be the best, you got to beat the best, and that's what we want to do.
All right, Max, last question, we'll let you go. You know, if you look back on 2000. 2017, you will have fought twice. Same in 16. You fought four times in 2015. In champ mode, do you like to be busier, or is two a year probably what you want to do while you're the champ at 145 and looking for other things to do?
You know, with my nutritionist and this and that, and we see what happens. You know, two times feel good. You know, maybe squeezing in a third one would be great, and if I could get four, that would be awesome. You know, but we see how my body is. Like I said, I'm getting older. You know, my nutritionist is helping me recover better. You know, and I'm eating much more better. But we just see, you know, two to three is ideal. If we get four, that's awesome. You know, but we see what happens. We see how active UFC wanna keep me, and you know, the more fights, the more better. You know, more money in my bank account, the more times, the more faster I get to set my legacy, and you know, the more reasons why people would want to see me more often.
Max Holloway joining us. He is fighting this weekend, defending his championship against Jose Aldo. Max, if people want to follow you on social, are you Twitter, Instagram, Facebook? Where should they find you?
Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Twitter and Instagram at BlessedMMA, BLESSED. Same with Twitch.tv for all you gamers.
Nice.
And Facebook is Jerome Max, Max Blessed Holloway, guys. You know, stay up to date with all me. You guys can see when I got gear dropping. I always post when I'm dropping gear, shirts, and stuff. So, you know, and all the greatest supplements and all that stuff, you know. So make sure you guys follow. Give me guys a follow and keep you guys interested.
Thank you, sir. Max, have a wonderful weekend and happy birthday, my friend. Good luck on Saturday night.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great one.
That is the champ, Max Holloway. Sounds confident.
Yes, he does. And, you know, Tyler Minton has made a huge, huge difference in this camp. And if he is, I mean, if you've been watching any of the embeddeds and listening to his interviews as we have leading up to this, like, he just sounds like a house of fire. And when you listen to Jose, Jose does not. And remember, guys, this cut for Jose has been hard for a long time. And that, to me, is one of the absolute keys to Max being able to do what Max does in these fights, is that, and if you've not watched Dan Hardy's breakdown of this fight, please do, because it's amazing. His stuff is fantastic. But his breakdown of this goes as follow. Jose Aldo is a fighter who's constantly taking note of how much energy he has left and where he's going to spend it. So he tries to old school, and Ken knows this, old school, win the end of the round with a takedown or a big shot or something so that he can, on the judges' scorecards, seem to steal that round at the end.
He's listening for those bricks to hit at 10 seconds.
And he's going to do something big so that he can win out the round. Where Max Holloway is go from the jump. He's not worried about energy because he feels like he can go for days, and that's a dangerous combination for a guy like Jose Aldo. If you go back to the Mark Hominick fight, where Mark Hominick nearly beat him in the last round because he just had nothing left. And this is Jose Aldo, a guy who should have blown through Mark Hominick and nearly lost to him in the fifth round because he just had no cardio. And guys, that has not changed. And his ability to make weight has not gotten easier. As Ken has said 100 times today, he's not getting any younger.
No, he's not getting younger. And the fact that we just talked to a dude who talked about his four Thanksgiving dinners makes me think his training and his cut is going okay, Eric.
Yes. And, you know, and this is the thing. And Ken and I have talked about this. If you can find a way, as Max Holloway seemingly has. Now, we have, as we're recording this, we haven't done weigh-ins yet.
No.
Right? So, but if you found a way to be able to continue to feed your body properly and make the weight using nutrition and water and sweat and exercise in order to do that, you're in a much better place. If you think back to how many times we would say, man, Frankie Edgar's really amazing. It's crazy. How does he do what he does? Well, guys, he does what he does because he's always at weight. He was a pound over where he was going to fight, so he didn't cut weight. He just showed up and ran around for 40 minutes.
Yeah, and that's going to be a really interesting thing, too, and probably led to some of the discussion he had, too, about going up, depending on medically where he is as he keeps growing. So it'll be very interesting to see past this weekend where Max Holloway ends up, and if he ever does end up in a cage or maybe a boxing ring with Conor McGregor.
Man, I would love to see that rematch, and you and I talked last week a little bit of the ghost of Conor McGregor over this bout and the last bout, right?
I didn't bring his name up during the interview.
And that's fine. You did it respectfully, so he didn't hang up on us, which was nice. But this, you know, this is a thing that hangs over this fight. Both of these guys have lost to Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Max had a much better outing against Conor than Jose Aldo did, but both have lost. And so you can't talk about this fight, I don't think, without talking about that and going, if you're looking at legacy and you're a guy in the UFC who's looking at the way in which the business is going, and GSP jumps over everybody to a completely different division to fight Michael Bisping for the championship, you're fooling yourself if you don't think everybody wants that treatment.
Well, that yeah, and that's an interesting thing, too. You know it's in his head because he's already calling Connor an exhibition fighter, which is a very pointed and calculated move by any fighter in that situation. So that is going on this weekend. Should be a lot of fun in Detroit. I'm more hyped after talking to Max about this championship fight now. I mean, I'm still not going to drive to Detroit. I will... watch it on pay-per-view, but
yes,
should be an exciting weekend.
It should be, and you can follow along with everything on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.